Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to our Father's house. Hey, how many of you are excited about this series? I got to tell you, I am super excited about the series. I'm not only excited about speaking it, I'm excited about just going on the journey with God myself. I'm excited about hearing the stories that you guys are bringing back, and I'm hearing from all of our locations as we begin to speak about our Father's house. We all know, we all understand as we speak about our Father's house, we've discovered this over the last few weeks, that we aren't actually talking about the buildings. We're not talking about the brick. We're not talking about the mortar, the concrete, or the roof, or the lights, or anything. No, when we talk about our Father's house, we're talking about living stones, praise God. How many of you have got a living stone sitting beside you? How many of you have got someone sitting beside you that looks like they're stoned? I see you, Tim Bradbury. Oh, sorry. Shouldn't have. Anyway, moving right along. Sometimes it just comes out my mouth and then it's like, oops, I shouldn't have said that. How many of you know we are living stones? How many of you know when you came alive in Christ, God planted you in his house? How many of you know when you came alive, he grafted you into his body? We've got little fingers in the room. We've got knees in the room. We've got elbows in the room. We may even have a couple of armpits in the room, but we won't go there. How many of you know that's a reality? We're all grafted into the body of Christ, and God puts us where God would desire to put us. When it comes to the house of God, when we're talking about the house of God, we are a spiritual house. We're a spiritual temple that God is building all by himself, and when we come alive in him, when we have faith in him, when we're born again, he's like, here is my child, here is my son, here is my daughter, and I am going to position them, build them into the wall, into the house, exactly where I want to. We together are a wonderful house. Together we are a wonderful house. We are a spiritual house that is alive to bring glory and honor to God. Now, as we speak about our Father's house, I promise you, even the term our Father's house, some of you are going to focus on Father, some of you are going to focus on house. Some of you don't want to focus on Father. Let's just go straight into it. Some of you are not going to want to focus on Father. For some of you, when I start to speak about Father, you drift off. Let's just go here. You drift off. It's like, whoop, out you go, out to sea. Why is that? Because there are many people in the room, and there's lots of people in the room. Many of you have had great experience with your fathers. Some of you have been abandoned by your father. Some of you have been abused by your father. And so when we come to the house of God and we begin to speak about our Father, how many of you know he is our Father? Jesus taught us how to pray, our Father, he's our Father. And as soon as I begin to speak about Father God, the Father's love, many of you just begin to close down, drift away. You may even not realize you're doing it, but you're doing it because of pain, because of hurt, because of all sorts of situations. But friends, if that is you today, I want to encourage you to come back. Just come back. Can I encourage you? Come back. I want to encourage you right here, right now, to make a decision. I'm not going to drift off. I'm going to allow the love of the Father, the love of God, to come into my life like I never have before, so that I might become the man or woman of God that I really desire to become. I know that you want to move forward. I know that you want to progress. I know you want to do something great for God. I know that. I understand that. But friends, I want to say to you today, you'll never be the person God has created you to be until you allow the Father's love to penetrate your heart. You've got to allow the love of the Father in. It's really that simple. The love of the Father, I tell you the truth, when God comes to you, he wants to lavish. Everyone say lavish. He wants to lavish his love upon you. Lavish it. I love this word. Why? Because I love my dad's scones. Praise God. How many of you love a good scone? Oh, my Lord. Are scones British? Is that where they come from? That's where they should come from. Because you need a cup of tea. You know, it's a cup of tea. You need a cup of tea with a scone. Would you like a scone and a cup of tea, love? Of course I would. You go to America and they say, hey, would you like a scone? Speaking of stoned, you know what I'm saying? It's like, would you like a scone? What's a scone? It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. What language do they speak over there? You know what I'm saying? They rearrange the English language. It's like they take the U out of favor, which doesn't make any sense. as in because there is favor for you. You know what I'm saying? That's like, it goes together. It's like they take the you out of savior. Well, how many of you know the savior is for you? You know what I'm saying? It's like, why do they do that? They just, anyway, moving right along. My dad, he makes scones. I got to tell you, he makes scones. There are scones and then there are scones. I promise you, you've never seen a scone like my father's scones. Yes, Georgie says yes. They're like that. She's saying that high. They're that high. And it's true. My dad does everything you shouldn't do in making a scone. He puts in the flour. He puts in the butter. He puts in the sugar. And then he goes to work and he starts. And then, how many of you know when you're making a scone, typically you're meant to be massaging and like tender fingers, like Mick when he gives me a rub down on the golf cart. And it's like tender, Mick, so soft on my shoulders. But how many of you know you're meant to do it like gentle? Not my dad. My dad, he gets that dough out, he puts it on the bench, and he smacks the hell out of it. You know, am I allowed to say that term? I don't know that I am. If I am not, forgive me, you're in church, you have to forgive. That's what the Bible says. Because if you don't, neither will you be forgiven. That's what Jesus said, you know what I'm saying? So just go with Jesus. So my dad was smack, and he's like banging. And everyone in the house looks at him like, he's lost his mind, you know. Bash. Then he puts it in the oven. Honestly, is it true, Georgie? They come alive. They come alive. As in, you can stand there and watch them grow. They're like, I don't know what they're like. But they just grow. And they've got little faces and they begin to wave at you. And it's like, and then they get really tall and you open up the oven and you hear angels sing. True story. You hear the angels sing. You get them out. And then so they're that tall. Is that true, Georgie? You cut them in half. So they're probably an inch and a half or something like that to 2 inches per half. And then you put the jam on them. Strawberry jam. Oh, my Lord. No preservatives. You just put the jam, and then what do? You lavish the cream on them. You lavish. One spoonful at a time. Bump, bump, bump. You know what I'm talking about. I promise you, as good as my father's scones are, compared to the way the father wants to lavish his love upon you, he wants to lavish, 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 lavish his love upon you. He wants to pour it out upon you. In fact, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. Many of you have had many things said about you, spoken about you. You've been called all sorts of names. But I want to tell you, let the lies of the enemy fall to the ground today and understand that from this day on, you are a child of God. You need to claim it. You need to own it. You need to regard it. You need to respect it. You need to embrace it. I am no longer what she said or what he said or what they said or what the devil said. I am a child of God. And that is what we are. How great is this love the Father has lavished on us? What about Romans chapter 8, verse 15? For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Makes you a what? A slave again. Because many of us were slaves to fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind is what the Bible says. So you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry out, Abba, Father. You received the spirit of sonship, daughtership. You're a child of God, and by him and through him and because of him, we now get to cry out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. How many of you know what Abba means? I know Pastor Mick knows what it means, hey, because he sings Abba all the time. I see him all the time. We're on the phone in that golf cart after he's rubbed my shoulders, and he's on the phone saying, you are the dancing queen, strong and mean, only 17. He sings to her. It's beautiful. That's not the Abba we're talking about. That's the Swedish Abba, Switzerland Abba, Northern Hemisphere Abba. We're talking about Abba that means daddy, daddy. Abba, father, daddy, father. It's important you understand because we can go father And we need to be childlike again in our faith as we go to God. We need to have an understanding that He is our Father, He is our Lord, He is our Savior. But first, He is our Father and He loves you. He wants to lavish His love upon you. And He wants us to come into His presence and call Him Abba Father. Abba Father is like Daddy Father. When I go Daddy, I can't help but smile because part of me is feeling childlike right there. But how many of you know He wants to be your Daddy? He wants to be your Father in every sense of the word. Okay, let's just back it up for a moment. There's some things that as we talk about our Father's house this year, there's some things that we need to understand about our Father. We have to get our head around it. We need to understand it. It's vital that we glean it and know it because the truth is, if we're going to bring people to our Father's house, then we need a house that's going to reflect who our Father is. I think a lot of the time we forget that God made us in His image. We shouldn't be looking to make God in our image. A lot of the time we'll go places and we'll say stuff and speak stuff. And I was like, that's not God. That's not our Father's house. You've all been to churches. I've been to churches. Sometimes maybe this church has not been at its best. We want to be at our best. The only way we can be at our best is to know who our Father is. We need to know who our Father is so we can represent Him. Now, I'm believing and I'm hoping that all of this year, we are going to grow in a number of revelations. Point number one is in our Father's love. We need a fresh revelation of our Father's love. Can I encourage all of you, whether you be 16 or 116 or anywhere in the middle, can I encourage you to get a fresh revelation of just how much the Father loves you? I can promise you, God is love. How many of you would agree with that? Hopefully all of you, because it's Bible. God is love, and we need to grow in this revelation of just how much our Father loves us. We need an ongoing revelation of our Father's love. We need a revelation of our Father's deeds, His actions. What does He do? This is why we need to be word people. We need to know our God so that when people say stuff, when situations come around, you can know this looks like God or this certainly does not look like God. I don't know. Sometimes I see stuff, even in our own world, where I'm like, this isn't God. I see behavior. This isn't God. I see actions. This isn't God. Sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor Shane, I don't know about that person. They're sick and I think they're sick because of God's judgment. I'm like, you need to be quiet. You need to be quiet. As in, friends, let's not be putting curses over each other. That's just absolute garbage and crazy thinking. Our God does not put sickness on people. He just doesn't do that. It's like, but in the Old Testament He did. Yeah, but that was that season. This is this season. Is it the same God? Yes, but in this season, He ain't doing that. Judgment's going to come to us all. There's no doubt about that. But we don't want to be a people that are speaking judgment over one another like that. That is not God. That is not God. When I hear people say to me, this is happening because of sin, I'm like, well, if that's the truth, God just should strike you dead. I'm going to step back. Take them now, Lord. I don't believe that rubbish. Take them. Wonder how many will come back next week. Praise God. You know it's true. As in, who of us is without sin that we can say that God is judging them like that? That's stupid talk. We're going to know what is God. So we need revelation of the love of the Father. We need a revelation of the Father's deeds. We need a revelation of the Father's Spirit. How many of you want to be filled with the Spirit over and over and over this year? We need to be filled with the Spirit, and we need an understanding of the Spirit. We need to be able to sense the Spirit. We need to be able to walk with the Spirit. We need to be able to hear from the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? So we need a revelation of the Father. Father's love, Father's deeds, and the Spirit of God. Now, the reason it's so important that you know these things and glean these things is because we all want to live as children of God. If I'm going to live as a child of God, I need to know who my Father is. The reason so many men and women really don't know who they are today is because of the breakdown between their relationship between them and their Father. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. If you're not connected to your Heavenly Father, you're not going to know who you are. But once you connect with your Heavenly Father, you can find your identity in Him. That's why there's so many people, and you know it's true. We live in largely a fatherless society where fathers were either absent or they were messed up. And as a result, we live in a time, in a season, where there are so many people who don't know who they are. They don't know. They just don't know who they are. That's why we need to connect people back to the Father, that they might look into the Word of God, be filled with the Spirit of God, and begin to take on who they are in Christ Jesus as a son or a daughter of God. And everybody said, "Amen." So we need to know these things, that we might live as children of God, that the men in the house might be better fathers. Give me a wave if you are a father. Give me a wave. All right, I'm a father. Can I say this to you? If you're a man, be a father. And you're like, so what are you saying? Should get married and have children? No, I'm saying be a father. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. It's an action. It's a love. You know what I'm saying? It's like, be a father. Being a father isn't about producing children. Any man can produce a child. That's different. But being a father, that's about love. That's about spirit. That's about actions. So I want to say to every man in the house, grow in God and be a father. So this word is relevant. We need to grow in these things because we want to live as children of God. We want to be good fathers as men. And then thirdly, we want to present to the world a God that is truly a God, not someone we have created in our own image. I think as humans, we tend to bring God down to where we are rather than lift our eyes and our thinking to where He is. Yeah, let's move along. How many of you are ready for some word? We're going to go quick. Does that work for you? 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12. All right. Soon after this, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, I don't know why they don't just call him Junior, but anyway. King of Babylon, thank you for the chuckle, I appreciate that. Actually, it gives me confidence when you laugh at my bad dad jokes. But anyway, King of Babylon sent Hezekiah his best wishes and a gift, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been very sick. Hezekiah welcomed the Babylonian envoys and showed them everything in his treasure houses, the silver, the gold, the spices, the aromatic oils. He also took them to see his armory and showed them all of his other treasures. Everything. There was nothing in his palace or kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked him, "What did those men want? Where were they from?" Hezekiah replied, "They came from the distant land of Babylon." "What did they see in your palace?" Isaiah asked. "They saw everything," Hezekiah replied. "I showed them everything I own, all my treasures. I just showed off for a couple of hours or a couple of weeks. It was incredible." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Listen to this message from the Lord. The time is coming when everything you have, all the treasures stored up by your ancestors, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your sons, your very own sons, will be taken away into exile. They will become eunuchs who will serve in the palace of Babylon's king." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "This message you have given me from the Lord is good." But the king was thinking, "At least there will be peace and security during my lifetime." The interesting part about this scripture is Hezekiah, I'm sure you all agree, if you know the kings, there was good kings and bad kings. There was righteous kings, there was evil kings. Hezekiah would be numbered amongst the good kings, the righteous kings. But you know what? In this aspect, he got it so wrong. Makes me wonder about myself, makes me question myself. That should make us all wonder, am I getting it right? Am I thinking right? Because here we have a situation where Hezekiah is being told, "Hey, Hezzy, you need to listen to this. This is the word of the Lord. Everything you have, you're going to lose it all. Not only are you going to lose it all, but the enemy is going to come after your children. And not only is he going to come after your children, but he's going to take your sons away. And not only is he going to take your sons away, but he's going to them. And as a result, they're going to be eunuchs and they're going to serve in the house of the enemy." Friends, can I say this to you today? Hezekiah may have been a good king in the terms of what he had done to that point in time. Yes, we celebrate him as a king, but as a father, this guy got it so wrong. He may have got things, so many things right, but in this regard, as a father, he got it so wrong. So wrong. So wrong. Friends, can I encourage you today? Don't make peace the goal of your faith. Did you hear that? Don't make peace the goal of your faith. Well, at least we've got peace, as if that is the prize. That is not the prize. That shouldn't be your prize. That shouldn't be the prize. No. Don't make peace the goal of your faith, because as long as you're making peace the goal of your faith, you're going to compromise when it comes to living a life in Christ. I promise you, you'll compromise. You'll compromise for the sake of peace. What have you given up for the sake of peace? What have you let go through for the sake of peace? What didn't you deal with because I got peace. I got security. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to upset the family. I don't want to, whatever the case may be. Friends, I want to encourage you, peace shouldn't be the goal. Peace should be the fruit, the byproduct of a life that is truly lived in faith. As sons and daughters of our Father's house, as fathers, that which is what we are, and those who represent the Father of the house, we're to pursue righteousness from a heart of love in the knowledge that He will grant us peace when we live our lives for Him. Now, go back to 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 17. The time is coming when everything you have, all your treasures stored up by your ancestors, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your own sons will be taken away into exile. They'll become eunuchs who will serve in the palace of Babylon's king. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The message you have given me from the Lord is good." But the king was thinking, "At least there will be peace and security during my lifetime." Friends, I want to encourage you, as I've already said, Hezekiah might have been a good king, but he got it so wrong. He got it so wrong. I hate this story. Just flat out hate it. I'm a father. We have many fathers in the house. We have many brothers in the house. We have sisters in the house. We have mothers in the house. How could it be that a righteous king could say, "This is a good report, that I'm going to have peace and I'm going to have security, but after I go, then the enemy is going to come in and take my sons and daughters away, take my sons away. And not only are they going to lose their freedom and go into captivity and become slaves, but they're going to be made eunuchs, which means they're unable to bear fruit in the future. It's going to be the end of the line. It's going to be the end of, they will not be fruitful. They're going to be in slavery. And yet the king says, this is a good news. It's a good report." I'm like, what's the matter with you? It's terrible. It's terrible. And so I think about this from the perspective of God the Father. God the Father. See, here is a man who is a natural father, but he's not carrying the Father's heart. He's not carrying the Father's heart. I don't know about you, but I don't want peace at the cost of my children's freedom. I don't want security at the cost of my children's fruitfulness. And neither does our Heavenly Father. When our Heavenly Father saw from heaven's point of view, destruction and despair, the enemy was bringing the destruction and despair that the enemy was bringing upon his sons and daughters. When he saw his sons and daughters being broken by their captivity and their slavery to sin, when he saw how his sons and daughters in their barrenness and their inability to live the life of fruitfulness that God always had for them, what did he say? "Well, what do you think, Jesus? What do you think, Holy Spirit? Good thing we're not down there. Good thing it's peaceful up here. We're in peace. We've got security." Is that what the Lord said? No. That's not what our Father said. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what the Spirit said. There was outrage. There was outrage. We need a little bit of outrage, but that's not what it's about. This message is about the love of God. Because when they realized what was happening, love wouldn't let them sit down. When they realized what was happening, Jesus stood up in love, in the midst of love, in the power of love, and says, "I'm not going to allow this to happen." When Jesus realized what was happening, he stood up for the freedom and the fruitfulness of his sons and daughters. Now, Philippians, praise God for all the Filipinos that are in the house. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 says, "Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God." Peace was his right. Peace was his right. Security. He's in heaven. He's got the angels and the seraphim singing, "Holy, holy, holy." He's got security. He's got peace. But he ain't hanging on to his security and he ain't hanging on to his peace. But in the midst of it, what does he do? He takes his stand. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God the Father wasn't willing that any would perish. We were greater than his peace. We were greater than his security. In fact, the prophet Isaiah puts it this way, Isaiah 6 verse 8, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to my people? Whom will go for us?' And I said, 'Lord, I will go, send me. I will go, send me.'" Now we know this is the book of Isaiah, and this is what the prophet wrote in regard to himself as who will go to the people and speak. But can I say this to you? This is a forerunner. Isaiah was a forerunner. What was happening in heaven is all of heaven were looking down, seeing humanity in their despair, and God the Father says, "Who am I going to send as a messenger? Who can I send?" And the Lord stands up. The Lord stood for you and the Lord stood for me. Friends, can I say this to you today? Maybe your father never stood for you. Maybe your father abandoned you. Maybe your father left you. Maybe your father abused you. But you have a father in heaven that was not willing to withhold anything. But when Jesus stood up, as much as it crushed him, as much as he was in, it's like, go. And he did. And he came. If only we could understand really this love. If only we could understand this love. I got to this part in the message of my prep yesterday. I'm down in High Point, which is not where I usually do sermon prep, but for whatever reason I was there. I'm in this coffee shop and I'm preparing. I get to this verse. And it messes me. To think that Jesus would die for me, for you, for us. If it was just me, or if it was just you, he would die for you. I don't know about you, I don't know that I'd die for you. Maybe for Georgie. Maybe for my daughters, for Kenichiwa. But I don't know that I'm going to die for you. But he died for me. When we were without hope, when we were being dragged along into captivity, when we were being made eunuchs so we couldn't bear fruit, when the devil was all over us, that was when Jesus said, "I will go, send me." I reckon God has got an incredible future for us all. I reckon God loves us all so much, so much. Thank you very much. I love your hair. I think no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who love him. It's true, so much. I think his love just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And we don't understand it. We don't get it. We don't understand the width of it or the depth of it or the height of it. And we come to church, which is good. But friends, your relationship with God is more than church, coming to church. You are the church. We're called to be the church. We go through the motions and we think if we do more, he'll love us more. You can't do anything more for God to love you more. That's just lies from the enemy trying to bind you up again, make you a slave to fear again. well, if I don't do this and I don't do that, then he's not going to love me. He loves you all so much. He loves you all so much. What more does he have to do to show you how much he loves you? What more can he do to show how much he loves you? I don't know what he can do. I don't know that. What more can he do? He's done it all. Still, we don't get it. And I get it. We don't get it. God wants to do a number on us all this year. He wants to do a number on us all. He wants us to enter into his love like never before. He wants us to allow his love to invade us. A year ago at Summit, Mike Kai brought a glass tight like wave. You know, Mike's from the Hawaii, and they got the big waves up there, and he brought this glass wave that sits on my desk. He said, Shane, there's a wave coming to enjoy church. I really believe this. I believe that God wants to engulf you, as it were, in his love. He wants you to enter the wave of his love. He wants to get you in there this year and get you going round and round and round. March 28, 1987, I got wheeled into the Albury Base Hospital. And for the very first time, I understood how much Jesus loved me. The Father loved me. I'd grown up in church. I'd heard all the stories, but I never knew just how much he loved me. One encounter with God came out altogether different. I went in with all sorts of junk and garbage and whatever insecurities going on. But one encounter with God, I realized I'm a child of God. And he loves me. He loves me.